Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 694 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show this week, we chat with Greg Rutherford about how we can avoid food waste. H from Steps in Watkins will be along to let us know what it's like being a parent to six-year-old twins. We'll be hearing from Carol Smiley as we talk all about National Wallpaper Week. And on top of that, it's time for us to visit the world of Panto, because Aladdin is on at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from December through to January. And we'll be this week chatting with three groups of stars, four people in all, Ian Billings and Sophie Anne, who are playing the Notary and Princess Jasmine. We'll be having a natter with Michael Greco, who's playing Abenaza, and Aladdin himself, Ben Kajee, will be joining us too. That's all on the way on the show this week.
From the 3rd of December until the 7th of January, Aladdin is on stage at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. Aladdin himself is here with me now. Ben Kajee, how are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. And it's good to have you along, and it's good to be thinking about Panto. And we've already had the lamp in
the
front of us.
The magic lamp, look at that. I gave it a rub earlier.
And did you get what you wished for?
Well,
this
I can't
Panto,
tell you,
the Panto was one of the wishes,
that was
wasn't it?
Wish number one, so yeah, but that's happened.
Okay, we'll see how the rest work out.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, CBeebies is a fantastic place to be. I mean, all the work that you do there brings you to millions of homes across the nation.
Yeah.
Which means there's going to be a load of kids trying to work out why Ben's called Aladdin.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. And whenever we do shows and I introduce myself as whatever character it might be, they're like, no, you're Ben. Which is always entertaining, like when you're in the middle of a show. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
So, Aladdin, is this a story that you've enjoyed as a kid?
I haven't actually seen the script yet.
Wow, so okay, I
genuinely don't know.
You don't know any of the story?
No, I mean, I've been told, like, roughly, in terms of what happens, and the journey that will take place.
The journey, but, journey is the thing, isn't it? Because you get to travel, do a lot of travelling.
I think there's quite a lot of travelling, and, you know, they've explained to me in terms of how it's going to be set and the kind of world that we're going to be in,
mm-hmm.
And that it's going to be super physical.
Right.
And I need to be very fit. And it's going to be loads and loads of fun, and Tam's going to be brilliant as the comic, and it's just going to be a good time.
You've got an amazing cast, we know that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Tam is back by popular request.
I know, 2 years in a row. Right?
You've got Ian Billings, local lad.
Yep.
You've got Ian Adams with his... it's a bit of a twanky in this one, isn't it?
I should know that. Dame, I just call him the Dame.
Again, it's someone else whose name we get confused with each year because he keeps coming back because the audience absolutely love him. So you've got competition there, but they are going to adore you too.
Okay. Well, that's very kind of you.
That's good. It's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So have you been practicing like magic words and things ready for all of this?
Not yet, but I mean, do you know any magic words? We could give it a go.
Oh, well,
abracadabra.
That one works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it works. Although, look, nothing. Abracadabra.
Rubbing the lamp, no change.
Nothing, yeah.
But it will be a full on family show. And does this mean there's musical numbers too?
Yes. I don't know what they are yet.
But what's your singing like?
I mean, I can hold a tune.
That's good.
But I'm not Beverly Knight's niece.
Well, that's the shame. But it's going to be a fantastic Panto with, I mean, everything you could possibly want.
The glitz and glamour. Yeah.
And,
songs, music, dancing.
The outfits.
The outfits.
You tried on some outfits
earlier today.
Yeah, and are they going well for you?
I mean, we've got the worker costume, which is kind of, you know, downplay that one, I'd say. And then it's the walk-down costume, which is very bright and sparkly and magical and regal.
You love a bit of regal, though, don't you?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a bit of regal.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. It is the Panto that is Aladdin. Is it Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 3rd of December through to the 7th of January? 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. See this man and an amazing cast on stage. It's going to be awesome. Ben, thank you.
No problem. See you soon.
Nearly a third of us apparently go out and buy food we know we're never going to use, and 40% say they don't even check what they need before they go down to the supermarket. Greg Rutherford is a man who knows what's in his larder, and he joins me now to tell us how we can combat food waste. Hello, sir.
Good morning, afternoon, evening. How are we?
I'm good, thank you. I trust we find you well. And,
practicing what you preach here, because I mean, food waste is a big thing. Not only is it the cash, but when people have kids, they find it harder to get through everything before the best before and use by dates.
Yeah, they really do. And look, I'm a dad of three, so I know firsthand how difficult it can be. And on top of that as well, children love to decide that they dislike a food from the day before it being their favourite food. So you think you're doing them a favour by cooking them their favourite meal. All of a sudden, they don't enjoy it anymore. So food waste can be a real problem. It's very difficult for families, but it's clearly very difficult for people across the country. The research that you were mentioning at the beginning there, brought out by Jacobs, is one of the most worrying facts of that is we're in a cost of living crisis. And on average per person, we're wasting £400, that's the monetary value, of food per year per person. So if you're a house of four, that's £1,600 a year that you're wasting on food, because you're either letting it rot in the cupboard or in the fridge or whatever else, or just throwing it away because you didn't know what to do with it. And that's obviously a real problem. So we need to be thinking about how do we get out there? How do we stop that from happening? Because with less food wastage, there's less package wastage, there's less impact on the environment from the process of food coming in and out. So from that point of view, we need to do what we can.
Absolutely. And I suppose, I mean, let's hark back to your MasterChef days, not only Olympic champion, but celebrity MasterChef winner. So, you know, you've got it all. Whatever you go for, you do well. So do you come up with some interesting creative things in the kitchen if there's that little bit of food left over, turning it into a great meal?
I do, actually. Yes, I love nothing more. I know it's, again, and obviously I've had the benefit now of going through a show where I learned to cook a lot more than I could previously. And I love food. Like, food's a huge part of my life. I love cooking. I love cooking for my children, for my family, for friends. But I do really enjoy looking in the fridge and seeing things and going, well, I'll give this a little try and see what happens. And that's something that people need to think about. They need to not worry too much about what the outcome might be, but actually just give things a go. If it's going to go to waste, you might as well try and put something together with it. Now, there's another great man as well that I've been working with, Martin O'Dell. He's a fantastic food waste chef. And he has some brilliant ideas. He's been a chef for 15 years, and he's really specializing in food waste as well. So me and him, we spent some time yesterday, and I tried some of his creations as well. One in particular that I really, really loved. So often people will leave bananas, obviously, during lockdown, we all made banana bread, and that became the new staple. But another he created for us yesterday, he put the ingredients of a banoffee pie on a cracker. And I looked at it and I thought, that's not going to work. And it was delicious.
So we're talking a cream cracker?
We're talking on a cream cracker, wow. A banoffee pie. So you cream on there, the bananas, using a bit of caramel and then a bit of old sort of chocolate sort of grated over the top. And it was amazing, genuinely amazing. So he's not fearing this. Now, of course, he's been a chef for 15 years, and via social media, people will be able to access some of the ideas that he's come up with, and I myself, Susan, my partner, who was working on it as well. But it's not fearing trying something new. I think that's a really important thing. Food should be fun. You should enjoy using food and obviously enjoy eating it. But so being creative, it's a real sense of achievement at the end of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet that took absolutely no time at all once you got the bits together. Away you go. And you've got a quick dessert after you've done whatever it is with the food. And you've then got to work out what to do with the bits they wouldn't eat. But that's another story. But as if they are not going to turn down this banoffee cracker, are they?
Absolutely not. No, we had my daughter there. So I've got three kids, the youngest being 18 months, my daughter, and she loved it. Absolutely loved it. And that's the big thing, isn't it? If you have children, it's really interesting finding what they enjoy. And often it's the things that you never would have thought of beforehand. So it's brilliant seeing them want to consume things like that, because it can be made pretty much from leftovers or bits that are still sitting in the cupboard.
But what do you do with the chicken nuggets when they said they wanted seven, but they only ate four?
I cut them in half and then I just pretend that something came along and nibbled the edges and they're actually all there. But these are the things, isn't it? Kids can, they make your life a nightmare when it comes to food at times, because they are so, so picky. But with that side of things, what I found has been so useful with my children, my older boys anyway, is that I get them involved in the process of cooking as well. And I think for any parents out there, you'll probably be listening and thinking, oh, goodness me, last night I made whatever and they didn't want to eat it. But actually, even if it's for a couple of minutes or the whole process, bringing children into the cooking process of getting the food out there they really, really enjoy it. And second of all, they're far more willing to eat it as well. So that's like a little tip, if you like, that I've found, which has worked so well with my kids. Get them involved in the process of cooking. Obviously, keep them away from anything very hot or dangerous. Give them a blunt knife, give them a carrot, let them try and cut it up, put it in the meal. And honestly, they love it.
And are there more tips online with the work that you've been doing with Jacobs?
Yeah, so we're going to be, myself, Martin, Susan, my partner as well, we're going to be putting lots of things up on Instagram, so you can go there. And then what we're going to be doing, they're going to be plated and put together, and they're going to be going on a Pinterest page with Jacob's Crackers, and you'll be able to see some of these amazing recipes, give them a go, and go from there. So go via Instagram, and then, onto Pinterest.
But you will be sharing your exploits so people can see what you've created.
Oh, absolutely, of course. The thing is, I've been doing it for years now anyway. I put together things left, right and centre at home, and I love showing people different things that you can do with different food. Look, I'm no chef. I'm not like Martin. I'm not a proper chef. I'm a cook. I'm a home cook, and I love cooking. And I've got now enough experience to understand that, put things together, give it a go, hope for the best.
Oh, that works every time. And if it tastes good, it's a thing. It is now, and it could be your family thing, and you get to share it as well. You might be able to drop the details over, go onto the socials, tell everybody what you're up to, and you can all share it together. That sounds absolutely brilliant. But Gregory, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
With Aladdin on stage at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 3rd of December through to the 7th of January, it's all about good and evil. I'm joined by evil now. He is Abanaza. He's Michael Greco. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. Evil personified.
Well, absolutely.
Abanaza, not me. Trust me.
Are you
pussycat.
Sure?
I'm a pussycat.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're loved by millions. So that's a start, isn't it? From the EastEnders days through everything else that you've been up to over the years, the stage work and everything.
Yeah.
You normally get to be a good guy, don't you?
I do. I mean... people know me from EastEnders mainly. Beppe was a good guy. He was the knight in shining armour. You know, he was the single dad that went through a lot of adversity. He was boring to play in ways because I always wanted to play the bad guy. So now I get the chance to put my boots on.
It is normally about the get-up, isn't it? The faux leather, the faux fur, the menacing look. Can you do menacing for me now to see how... Yeah, I'm scared. I am scared. That is already terrifying,
mate. Thank you very much.
You're going to make kids cry with that one.
Good. That means I'm doing my job.
That's it is all about having fun at Christmas, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's panto mean to you? Because how often do you do panto?
It's funny. I was just saying that panto. There's a number of reasons why actors do panto. Obviously, financially for an actor, it's great. Mm-hmm. Secondly, at Christmas, there's no work for actors.
Because everyone else is doing panto.
Everyone else is doing panto. But seriously, there's no work at all because a lot of the theatres or the industry, the TV and film industry, shuts down. Really.
Just in case it snows.
And everyone's on holiday from November till February.
Yeah.
So there's no work around and it's boring. And as an actor, I want to work, you know. And don't get me wrong, doing panto is tough because two shows a day, 6 days a week, it's not easy. But then it's not easy getting up 6 a.m, working on the road till 6 p.m, you know, so we have it easy in that sense. But also, I've got a young boy, and it's the first time he's going to see his dad perform,
that's going to be cool.
Yeah, it means a lot to me, that.
Yeah, and what better than panto? You know it's going to be full-on family-friendly stuff, which
absolutely
is brilliant.
Yeah.
So we've got a great script ahead of you. You haven't seen that yet,
No, I haven't seen the script
but
yet.
But that will come. It's always awesome. The Grand is truly an amazing home of panto, and you've seen the theatre itself.
Theatre is one of my favourite theatres I've been to because it's just got that old-style theatre, and it's very intimate and not too big, and so you know the acoustics are going to be great, and the audience is right there, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people don't like to see the whites of people's eyes, but I love that. I love working off the audience.
And you really can play to the crowd here, and as I say, that will make a massive difference, particularly when you're being booed, which I mean should be at least 87.4% of the time you're on stage.
Let's hope that's the minimum, you know, because the thing is tough on an actor playing the baddies is you have to raise your levels above the audience.
Mm.
So for a 6 week run, it can be quite taxing on your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'll finish the show, I'll go home and not speak until the next day. Unfortunately, that's the way it is because you've got to look after your voice.
But you will be doing that and looking after the audience too. And,
absolutely.
You will still get that round of applause at the end because most of them get it, that you're not really a bad guy, however much of a comeuppance you get during the show.
That's right. Yeah, they realise you're just an actor doing a role. The kids don't, but the adults who know me from back in the day in EastEnders will want to see the real me at the end and go, oh, it's just a normal bloke.
The mums will be of the right age to be the ones who were
the 95-year-olds.
No, come on. They've loved you through these years.
They have.
You are the draw. Come on.
Do you know, I have to say that I still get recognised loads in the street, mainly from people who are, say, over 28 or 30 years old. And they're all so nice. They're all like, oh, God, we loved you back in the day. Oh, my God, you were a heartthrob. You were lovely. You were this, that, and another. When are you going back? When are you going back? You know, and never say never, but at the moment, things are, you know, I'm going down a different path at the moment with work, and it's great. But I would like to recreate Beppe one day.
And that's a great thing with soap. So as long as you haven't had even if in the case of Ends, you've had a very hard end to your storyline, you can sometimes go back. And
yeah.
That's what would happen in Walford if it were real, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they brought back Gillian Tailforth. Mm-hmm. So they killed her off and then they brought her back, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they also brought back Dirty Den, didn't they?
Yeah, so who knows? Beppe is still safely there on the sidelines.
Yeah, he moved to Leicester.
Well,
he ran a cafe in Leicester, so he's still there, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you could go and sit. No, mate, it doesn't work like that, does it? There's not a real Beppe. I'm getting confused in real life again, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. You are.
You will be evil in the show and Beppe for the rest of the time. I think, no, it doesn't work like that either.
No.
Yeah, you will be Lane Ebenezer. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Michael Greger, thank you for joining us. And let's look forward to the panto. It is going to be from the 3rd of December through until the 7th of January. 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. And you can swoon at the stage door every night for the ladies that love you. Is that okay?
I'm there for you.
New research from Play-Doh has shown that parents want to be absolutely perfect in every way. This can get messy at times when it comes to the fun and games you can play. Ian H. Watkins joins me now to tell me about his parenting experience and life with twins. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm exhausted.
Well, that's pretty standard, I should think. But, I mean, you're out working all sort of hours when you're on tour. You've got the kids to look after and you do want to be that perfect parent too.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I've learned that there is no such thing as perfect parenting. There's no such thing as the perfect child. You know, everybody's style is different. Every family unit is different. And I feel, like most parents, I guess, massive pressure from, you know, social media, where there is unrealistic parenting goals, pressure from other parents, also pressure from people who don't have children. So, you know, there are so many things that are weighing upon your shoulders. And that's exactly why I have become a Play-Doh ambassador. So Play-Doh have compiled this book from exhausted parents.
Yeah.
Like myself, there's Vogue Williams, there's Mother Pucker, all different kinds of family units. And we give you little glimpses into the exhausting life of a parent. A survival guide, if you like. Little golden nuggets to get you through your day.
Yeah, and the good thing is this is help that you're asking for when you come to read the book. Because, I mean, there are so many people, I mean, I think it's 2 in 5 said they'd received unsolicited parenting tips after sharing stuff on social media. And, I mean, that's not called for, is it?
Well, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I do think, you know, social media is a curse and a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
If you see images on people's Instagram grids of, you know, tidy playrooms and beautiful white bedrooms, that is not real. You know, if I turn my back, my children smear paint on the wall. You know, I turned my eye in lockdown and my cat was covered in sellotape. So that's the reality.
Yeah, and you can't lock all of these things away. Okay, the paint, as long as it was poster paint, isn't allowed, I suppose. But yeah, the sellotape, it can sneak anywhere. You lose a roll of sellotape before you know it. You say you've got a mummified cat wondering what on earth's happening to it.
But you know, but it's parenting, and that's the title of the book. Parenting is messy, but it's so much fun. You know, I don't worry about a tidy kitchen. I don't worry about made up beds. That will all come. I always remember little kind of pieces of advice from my granddad and my dad. You know, give your children memories, not things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to do. I mean, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I'm a shouty dad. And, you know, and I'm hard on myself. You know, I could have handled that differently. But you have to just live in the now and move on. Just, you know, be present and congratulate yourself for the small wins.
But I mean, do you find that maybe every once in a while you get out the DVD of Step's Greatest Hits, pop it on the machine, let them sit in front of it and just watch because you're there? So is that a great parenting technique if you have such things?
Well, Well, not everybody has that, do they?
No, they're not themselves on DVD in the way you have, no. But
no, but you know what? Even that doesn't work for me because recently I, because I never really show them lots of Steps concerts or play them Steps songs, but they're aware that Daddy's in Steps. So recently we headlined the Queen's Jubilee concert and I thought, right, I'm going to show them this because it's a massive deal and it looked spectacular on TV. So I sat them down, you know, I fast forwarded to the finale because we were ending the whole concert. And after 10 seconds, they went, Daddy, can we draw now? So they don't care. They absolutely don't care. So I'd like to think I could play that card, but no, it doesn't work.
Doesn't worth a try though. But I mean, Play-Doh is it was for me as a kid absolutely amazing. I'm going to guess for you too. And this is something that you've carried on through to this latest generation.
Yeah, totally. I always remember looking through, you know, the catalogue when I was a kid. Play-Doh was the thing. And do you remember the barbershop?
Well, yeah, ironically, yes, because I have no hair. I look like the before, you look like the after.
Sorry, I should have chosen my words carefully then for follically challenged people. But I always remember, you know, putting the Play-Doh and then putting the helmet on, pushing it down and growing and the hair growing. Do you remember that? That
was amazing. Fantastic fun. And it was always some sort of weird shade of beige hair because I'd always mixed together all of the different colours in my Play-Doh box. But it's just an excuse to go and get more, isn't it, really? But
exactly, yeah. Messy play. There you go. Get messy.
Yeah, but it is part of the fun. And as well as the Play-Doh, any other good tips that you've got to keep them under control?
Oh, my gosh. You know, make things out of nothing. You can make something out of nothing, whether it be toilet rolls turn into binoculars, you know, washing up liquid bottles turn into rockets, cardboard boxes turn into spaceships. You know, that's the kind of fun that we have. You know, yep. It's messy, but and it's exhausting, but it's fun.
With a series of Play-Doh aliens running across the scene, too.
We made a Play-Doh glasses. so they have sunglasses and we stuck all Play-Doh around. And they've made a moustache and a beard. They had loads of fun.
And you're enjoying this just as much as they are as well.
That is what parenting is about. You know, I didn't have children to be constantly exhausted, even though I am. I didn't have children to be stressed, even though I am. I had children to have fun, and I do have fun. You know, there are glimpses of loveliness, and it's getting easier as my children get older.
So what else have you got planned? Is there more chances than to ignore you in concert in the near future?
We've just had 3 albums and 2 tours in 3 years. So we are taking a little break at the moment. But just because you see us doesn't mean things are not happening behind the scenes. But we'll give you a break and we need a break as well.
Well, you'll be actually basically playing Play-Doh behind the scenes. That's what you're up to.
That's fine by me.
Right, I want to see at some point on your socials so some perfect parenting with a full Play-Doh set of Steps figures as well. That could be good too.
That would be good. Okay, I shall put it on my little wish list.
We shall look forward to that. So maybe get the kids involved. How old are they now?
They're 6 now. 6-year-old twins I have. It's carnage.
I should think it's absolutely chaos. Where can we go to find out more about this and the book and get some parenting tips from those who are as stressed as everybody else?
Okay, this is easy. So you go to the Play-Doh website and it's totally free. You can do a digital download and you'll get little golden nuggets, little top tips from myself, Vogue Williams, Mother Pucker, so many incredible diverse families. And if you take one piece of advice from that book, then our job is done.
The world will be a slightly happier, but maybe slightly messier place.
Yeah, or messy is fun. Messy's good.
and Play-Doh normally comes out the carpet as well, so that helps too.
Win-win.
H from Steps and the world of parenting, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Jason. Take care.
Aladdin is your panto of choice this year. It's at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 3rd of December through until the 7th of January. 2 of the stars of the show are with me now, Sophie and Ian. Hello to you both.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. You're local stars as well, which is suitably exciting.
Yes.
So I'm going to ignore Ian for a bit. And Sophie, tell me about you.
Ignoring me for a bit.
Oh, so this is my first ever pantomime and it's at home, which is incredible. I am so looking forward to it. I'm excited to go on the big stage. I've grown up coming to the Wolverhampton Grand, watching so many different productions here, and to actually be on the stage now is a dream.
It is a great stage as well, though, isn't it? That's the thing.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful.
But you've performed all over the place. Yeah. How have you found time to come home?
I mean, oh gosh. So last week I was in France.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, I'd spent 2 days there. And then from there, I flew to Italy. So it was another 2 days there.
Lovely.
No, it's kind of, it's
my... And now Wolverhampton.
And now I'm in Wolves.
Wow, all over the place.
It's good, isn't it?
France and Italy and Wolverhampton.
But what do you think? If, you know, apart from the fact you can sing, you can dance, you look amazing, you can act.
Thank
Which
you.
Of those things is it that you like to label yourself with, though? Which, or is it just the fact you love doing a bit of everything? Because Ian does all of those as well.
Very badly.
I think I would label myself as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
That is my main passion. That is what I love to do.
And being Princess Jasmine as well, I mean, you get to really get some fantastic music. And I don't want to do any spoilers, but it kind of works out okay with the story as well, doesn't it?
So, I mean...
You're not going to do spoilers either, are you, for those who haven't seen Aladdin?
But do you live happily ever after? Well, you'll just have to call on the sea.
This is it.
Come and find out.
Now, as notary...
Yes.
In Billings, as soon as you say he's notary, he's there, isn't
he? Yes, I'm here. That was my cue. The notary.
Person of note. Now, explain for those who don't understand yet what a notary is.
Do you mean you don't understand what a notary is?
I haven't got a clue.
I'll explain for you.
Thank
you. A notary, a notable notary, is like, it's a kind of a bureaucrat, a lawyer, solicitor who's in charge, very officious kind of bureaucrat, who is the father of the beautiful Jasmine.
Ah.
Yes.
And it used to be in the old Aladdins would be the Emperor of China. But of course, this isn't a Chinese Aladdin. It's a kind of ethereal, magical land called Shangri-La. And I am the notary. The notable notary of Shangri-La. That's who I am.
I mean,
does that answer your question?
That covers it, actually. I wasn't expecting an actual proper answer from
you. Sorry. There you go.
But you have been working from your base in Wolverhampton again, all over the world as well. So you've travelled almost as much as Aladdin does in this production.
Absolutely. I've been all over the world with
not
the work that I do. Not on a flying carpet, sadly.
Nobody's got a 747, isn't it?
That's right. I used to do a lot of stand-up comedy for children, as you know.
I
It took me all around the world, working in schools in places like Uganda and Kenya and Vietnam and Thailand and Moscow and Australia. And now... Wolverhampton.
Which is
my local theatre, and I'm so excited to be here because I've lived in Wolverhampton for, 20 years, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done theatres around about, like Lichfield and Telford. I've kind of done a little orbit of Wolverhampton, but finally landed right in the epicentre of the theatrical world of the Midlands, mm-hmm. Panto at the Wolverhampton Grand. What more could you ask for?
All we could ask for is you on stage because you are amazingly entertaining, truly funny.
Keep going.
The George Clooney lookalike work
George
keeps
Clooney
coming
lookalike.
In.
Yes, that's good.
And what else?
Tell them
there?
About my singing.
Oh, his singing is absolutely amazing.
Very good.
Yeah.
I know all the words, don't I?
You've got nothing to
Maybe
worry about.
Maybe you can teach me a few
things. I know all the words. I know how to face the front. I'm very good like that.
Because
you've seen me loads, haven't you?
I have seen you. I've seen you in pantos all over the place.
In Telford and Lichfield.
Yeah, and I'm so pleased to be actually seeing you in Wolverhampton.
Wolverhampton, exactly. It's the place to be, where all the best people are.
Absolutely. But what are you both most looking forward to in the show, apart from being able to go home at night? That's cheating. No digs.
I think... For me, obviously, just to be on that stage is going to be an incredible experience. Just to be on the other side, because I'm normally in the audience watching Panto.
Mm-hmm.
So to see the audience's reaction to us guys on stage is going to be amazing. And obviously to perform with you guys. It's the first time I met the whole cast today.
Yeah,
yes,
and everybody's
our first
so
day.
Lovely. And I think we're all going to gel really well.
Yeah.
And
there's a good vibe, isn't there?
It's a tight unit.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to all... work together and be in the show together.
Yeah, there's a good vibe amongst everybody. I've really felt that. And of course, Ian Adams, who's a dame of note from has done, 5 or 6 years here already?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Favourite dame here, he's wonderful. And so everybody's come together. And Tam Ryan is
back.
Yeah.
Award-winning Tam Ryan.
Absolutely.
I can't remember what it was for. Best comic, I presume.
I think that was the one.
he
did well.
Yeah, he did
well.
So we've all come together and this kind of all mix of different talents
mm-hmm.
To present this exciting new version of Aladdin.
It is going to be truly awesome. It is, as we said, from the shut up, I'm talking. It is from the 3rd December to the 7th
to the 7th
of January.
January.
Yes, indeed,
it's very good.
Right.
When does it start? On the 3rd to the 7th.
Yeah.
We rehearsed this bit.
Yeah, well, what's the phone number then?
Oh,
yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
What's the phone number then?
Somebody get Google.
01902-429212 is that box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets, and you can enjoy the magic of the whole Panto with these two amazing local performers who are international jet-setting performers, really. We happen to just grabbed into the city for a few weeks on the run of Christmas.
Isn't he good? Isn't he good, really?
Amazing.
Good?
Thank
you. Said.
Thank
I was
you.
Not expecting that.
No?
the
phone number.
To come out,
right, okay,
it's very good.
It's the best extra we can do. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us. It's been lovely.
Lovely to meet you.
That'll be £1, please.
Yeah, that much.
Yeah.
You're more expensive than parking.
New research has shown that more than 2 million of us haven't updated our home in a decade. Somebody who probably redecorates every 3 to 4 weeks is Carol Smiley, who joins me now. Hello.
Good morning, Jason. I'm not every 3 to 4 weeks. Don't worry. I'm not great. I'm not as much bad as 10 years, but I'm not 3 to 4 weeks.
But I mean, a quarter of us say that they are totally happy with the way their home looks. And that means there's 3/4 who are not pleased with their current decor.
But do they do anything about it? They worry. I think a lot of people find it overwhelming and it's too big a job and it's going to cost too much money and I probably have to get a man in. And the answer to all of these is no, 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 and no.
I mean, how much do you tackle yourself at home? Because, I mean, you're used to designing, but you've always been one for getting your hands dirty on TV as well.
I was the one got hands dirty. I was not the one designing, actually. I was the one sort of watching designers thinking.
Wow. Hmm.
But actually, I do get my hands dirty. And in lockdown, one of my biggest projects, or my favourite projects, I should say, was I took on a whole room and I wallpapered it myself. And I'm so chuffed with it. And I get lots of comments about it. And I think, oh, I did that myself.
So you basically Instagrammed this room so everyone knows what it looks like.
I think I might have done it at the time. I definitely was. I was very kind of, you know, before and after. I love a before and after, obviously. And, you know, the reason I'm here to talk to you today is because the International Wallpaper Week have commissioned this survey, and it is quite surprising, some of the sort of results that have come out. But actually, you know, people can be brave, and you know, if they really don't like their home that much and they sit indoors and do Zoom calls like this, then perhaps, you know, even just going for one wall is worth a go. For the price of a family takeaway, you could do one wall with wallpaper and do it yourself, and it's not the big job it used to be.
And that can completely refresh a room. I mean, I'm looking at your room now, and I always like it when we're talking to celebs and we get to see inside their homes here. Susie Dent has some amazing pictures on her walls, and it changes regularly. So she likes to keep her interior decor sorted out. And you've got some lovely squares on your wallpaper. That is classy, modern-looking wallpaper.
Ah, thank you. That's a Graham and Brown wallpaper. What can I say? I actually did this quite a long time ago. It's probably due a refresh, but it's my daughter's music studio. Got a better sound in here, so I'll come in here. But she's leaving home soon, so now is the chance to have another go. I'll take the whole lot out and have another go.
But it can be fun, and as we've said, wallpaper is, you know, so much the way forward. It can cover all sorts of dinks and dents which the kids have brought to your home over the years, and it gives you a fresh look, and can be quite quick to do. And then there is always, I know it seems like a bit of a sin saying it at this point, but you can paint over it in the future if you need to too.
You can, but the paste the wall wallpaper actually comes off quite quickly and easily in a full strip, which is amazing. You know, you don't have to get all the kit in. It's a very minimal kit. You just paste up the wall and then slide the paper on. And if you pick either a geometric or a kind of, you know, big print, it's quite easy to match up as well. So the nights are drawing in now. You know, we're getting in the colder weather and people are spending more time indoors. So it's a good time to think about having a go for for less than the price of a family takeaway. You could even just do one wall and it would just change everything for you.
Because wallpapering, so it is like a giant jigsaw, which everyone can get involved in.
Yeah, well, depends how old everyone is.
Well, I suppose, yeah, okay. The
kids, I'm not kids so keen to get the toddlers involved or the olds involved, but, you know, for your own sanity. You know, sometimes you live in your home and it's not that you don't like it, but you just don't notice stuff anymore because it's just what you've always seen. If you change one thing, it's amazing how much of a whole different slant it gives it and how much you kind of go, wow, it looks great in here.
You feel you've done the whole house just for having done one room sometimes.
Well, you might go on and do the whole house if you find it that easy. What can I say?
So
just to give you a kind of ideas of the sort of things people are going for, you know, they're picking lots of lovely sort of deep, warm and earthy colours. They're going big on the scale. In the summer, we had lots of outdoors coming indoors, so, you know, kind of leafy designs, that kind of thing. But people have gone really big scale, which is amazing. And some are even being super brave and having a mural.
Ooh.
You can do that. Yeah, I know you can do that on the website and just put in your dimensions, what kind of mural you would like, and Bob's your uncle.
Design it, get it ready for your home, and have something that is unique, which is rather good. But so people go for the geometrics you talked about, maybe doing just the one wall, but what wall is contrast can work too as well, can't it?
Yeah, very much so. I'm looking at yours there, Jason. I'm seeing a ceiling.
Oh, well, I'm in the office at the moment, so I can't share what my home looks like.
You're grateful for that, aren't you?
Yeah, well, no, actually, you find very white walls, but when I came to it, I had sometimes three layers of wallpaper on my wall. So they are resting at the moment, but wallpaper will be back at some point in the future because it is absolutely glorious, isn't it? Some of the things you can do.
It's so glorious. And it's something we never did in the years that I was on changing rooms. We just didn't, you know, it was a big budget thing then and a lot of mess and quite complicated. It was a long time ago. So much has changed in that time. I think it's really exciting.
Where can we go to find out more?
For the designs and ideas, you can go to grahambrown.com or you can go pop into your nearest B&Q, Wilko, or Next.
And it is about buying the right wallpaper for you, whether it means that you want to have the self-pasting or whether you're looking at something, which is a bit more of a challenge.
I would go for the self-pasting, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But also you can take a sample and go home and, you know, stick a few on the wall and think, which one suits, and look at the light at different times of day as it comes into the room and how the wallpaper looks.
That's the way to do it. Plan ahead. Make sure you enjoy it. Carol Smiley, thank you for joining us.
Jason, my pleasure.
That's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. Back with episode 695 next week. I hope to see you then. So off and out.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.